Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Yeah, it's sometimes for me it's also too good to be true, no? But we've done it a few times already recently. Palawan was we sold 1 billion actually one day of units. So
one day
we had people lining up for it, and then in Cebu we also sold more than 2 billion in a week, no? of a new project called Calia 104, which is on the higher end side. So Casamira, being economic to mid-market, and we also have high-end here in Cebu, and we're able to sell out really in record time. I think my take, RJ, is the market is healthy. It's for the developer to spot the opportunity.
Perfect. So it's really, I guess, spotting the opportunity, but also establishing a very strong brand name. That's how you get here. What are the other fundamentals that you're also seeing? I mean, looks like you've got a strong pre-marketing or pre-sales organization to make sure na parang they were ready to pick up the inventory. And good evening, good morning, good afternoon to wherever you're watching from here in the Philippines and all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In the RJ Ledesma Podcast, I interview the country's pioneering and trailblazing business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets in our own businesses? How have they innovated? How have they pivoted? How have they evolved their businesses during the pandemic? But more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging in the post-new normal? Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here in the podcast? Please let me know. I would love to learn from them. Just drop me a message. We are also live right now on YouTube, Kumu, CBRC-TV, Global Pinas TV, and the Bounce Back Network. Now, tomorrow we'll be holding the annual National Convention of the Subdivision and Housing Developers Association, of which our business, my family real estate business, is also a member. And I also sit on the board of governors of the Subdivision Housing Developers Association. And tomorrow, I am very, very honored that our next guest has agreed to be one of our key resource speakers for tomorrow's national convention. And, you know, I've had a chance to work with him in the past. I actually hosted their IPO here in Manila. I've had a chance to see their different projects. I've seen them grow strength by strength. And I'm so happy to have him here right now. Tonight, we're going to have our guest, Jose Franco Soberano, who is a director, executive vice president, and chief operations officer of Cebu Landmasters, which is a real estate development company that envisions to provide quality homes for Filipinos every day. Cebu Landmasters was founded by his dad, Jose Soberano III, in 2003. And CLI is deeply engaged in real estate projects focused on the Visayas and Mindanao regions in developing 100 projects in different development stages since 2003. They are awarded as the best developer in the Philippines in 2019 and best developer in the Visayas and Mindanao in 2021 by Property Guru Philippine Property Awards. And despite this pandemic, they sustained their reputation as the leading developer with a reliable track record. CLI aims to launch 14 to 18 residential projects yearly. Again, I'll say that again, yearly, starting in 2022. And currently, they have on their roster 67 residential projects, 6 office projects, 10 hotel projects, 8 mixed-use developments, and 3 townships. Truly incredible. Please welcome my good friend, Franco Soberano. Franco, welcome.
Hi, RJ. Good evening. Very happy to be here to chat with you and, of course, to give a lot of insights to our viewers, RJ.
And again, Franco, thanks. Maayong gabi. He's watching all the way from Cebu.
Cebu, but I have to board a flight to be with you for the SHEDA convention tomorrow. It's a really an honor to be one of the speakers to a very esteemed group. So thank you for the invitation.
And thanks so much for indulging us, Franco, and joining us. And before everything else, you know, we've got people watching from all over the country. Let's show them our proud Visayan roots. Can you please greet all our guests watching here right now, especially Boston and the rest of Philippine homes watching us here right now. Let's greet them in Bisaya.
Sure, sure. Mayang gabi sa atong mga amigo diri. Dakog honor gyud nga makastorya ko diri sa on RJ's podcast. So thank you.
Thanks so much. And before everything else, before we talk about business, there is one new title added to your name very recently, and I'm so honored that you are now part of the consular community. Franco Soberano is not just Mr. Franco Soberano, he's now Honorary Consul Franco Soberano of Finland to the Philippines, particularly out of Cebu. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was recently appointed, and I'm just really following the footsteps of RJ Ledesma, who is a fellow consul. But yes, I'm probably one of the youngest here in Cebu, and Finland's amazing country, one of the happiest countries in the world, and with a lot of innovation. So it's happy to be representing them.
Well, fantastic. Can I just ask briefly, how did it come about? How did you become the new consul of Finland out of Cebu?
Yes, to be very frank, I have no roots in Finland, but our ambassador, Ambassador Paiko, did his rounds here in Cebu and met several members of the business community. He must have enjoyed his talk with me, or I probably gave him a lot of good insights and a little bit of humor. So he remembered me well. But I think he saw that I really cared about our city a lot, and our company was part of growing the region. So that's probably why he invited me to be one of his honorary consuls.
So onward and upwards, very soon we might see a CLI project in Finland. But yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves if that's the case. No? Let's talk now a bit more about the projects, about the CLI. But here's one big thing, and I'm sure many people, especially those from Filipinos who are listening here right now, know this one. You know, CLI's first venture out of Visayas and Mindanao is in Palawan, and it's an extremely successful venture, which is Casa Mira in Palawan. I have the stats with me here right now. But Franco, I want to hear from you. How well are you guys doing out of your first project there in Palawan? And why choose Palawan as your first place to develop in the Luzon area?
Well, we really saw Palawan as the closest to Bismin. If we look at in the map, it's on the same latitude as, Palawan is actually geographically very close to Bismin. And we saw an opportunity. There is a very strong emerging economy, not just for tourism, but there's actually a very strong economic and educational hub in Puerto Princesa. And we didn't see a lot of supply, I think. There were just two condo developments in the entire island of Palawan. Imagine two. And we bring our product line called Casa Mira, that is the most generous type of condo, and caters to really the, I would say, value for money market. So when we launched this just 2 weeks ago, it's already more than 80% taken up. And we sold more than a billion of units there. For a first-time player in that market. But we thank those supporters of ours, like Filipino Homes, who have their big team there, who really helped to introduce us to the market.
This is what's mind-blowing, that many people cannot seem to fathom. I mean, here in Luzon, it's not, I mean, at least here in Manila, it's not that imaginable for you to sell that fast in such a short period of time. But can you tell us again, just how many were you able to sell in such a short period of time? And how are you able? Yeah. I mean, developers in Manila would love to see, how can we replicate what you did over there?
Yeah, it's, it sometimes for me, it's also too good to be true now. But we've done it a few times already recently. Palawan was we sold 1 billion in actually one day of units. So
one day
we had people lining up for it, and then in Cebu we also sold more than 2 billion in a week, you know, of a new project called Calle 104, which is on the higher end side. So Casamira, being economic to mid market, and we also have high end here in Cebu, and we're able to sell out really in record time. I think my take, RJ, it's the market is healthy. It's for the developer to spot the opportunity.
Perfect. So it's really, I guess, spotting the opportunity, but also establishing a very strong brand name. That's how you get here. What are the other fundamentals that you're also seeing? I mean, it looks like you've got a strong pre-marketing or pre-sales organization to make sure na parang they were ready to pick up the inventory.
Right. Interestingly, CLI, we're already at 100 projects developed. And in those 100 projects, we actually don't have an in-house sales team, RJ. No? Mm-hmm. It's one of those weird but very amusing facts about CLI. We actually don't have an in-house sales team. So we depend on the brokerage community, the sales community all over the country to promote us. I think what that does is create really a culture of collaboration, a good culture of partnership with our brokers and sellers. Because, you know, we take care of them, meaning equip them with the inventory, good servicing, good pricing, and they take care of the rest. But what probably helped us is we've proven that when we complete the project, these are, you know, very sincerely developed, meeting the expectations or delivering better than what was expected. Because I think that's where the brokers say, oh, I will sell CLI because they've always met their commitments now when the projects are completed. Because pre-selling is just, you know, 5% of the ball game. There's 95% we have to prove, no, in construction, in servicing the account. And, you know, brokers know that we walk our talk, RJ. No, and we've done this in 15, 16 different cities already in the country. Yeah.
And talking about walking your talk, I remember one of the most prominent things, and I want to say hi here right now. Shout out to Anthony Orais, Lutario Boston, saying, hello, boss over there. Mike, can we pick up the comment of Boston? Thanks so much, Boston, the president of Filipino Homes. Listen to us here right now. I think Mike, you comment the Boston. But anyway, he says, hello, boss. No, I want to just ask him, I want to point out, I recall that, you know, there you go, hello, boss. But when one of the, I forget which typhoon that struck the country, which tore away a lot of the homes in Cebu, one of the ones that were left standing very strong was from Cebu Land Masters. Is that correct?
You know, that was really the first time we had a 300 kilometer per hour typhoon, no, in a long time. Or the last time was in 1990, 1991. And I was in Manila when there was a very strong typhoon approaching, no? But it was slowed down, thankfully, when it hit land. But ours, it really grew in speed. So most of our projects were spared, but there were definitely in the higher elevated areas where roofs were really damaged. But I think the thing we did there was, even for projects that we built 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we made a pledge to repair roofs for free. So we spent... I guess now looking back, we spent 50 million repairing roofs for free. Now, even if these were beyond warranty, but it was part of our way of, you know, for our homeowners to bounce back quickly. It was, you know, being with them in recovery. So I think we were one of the few or the only ones who made that gesture, and we're very proud to do that.
Well, and that sort of goes beyond the mandate. And I remember reading in the company profile that the roots of the company are really rooted on faith and family, which for me is very key. I mean, not all companies would have gone extra mile.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm asking, why did you have to go the extra mile, even if there are no more warranties? What was that? What motivated you to go beyond what you had to do?
Yeah, it's just really the right thing to do. It goes back to values, no, of our family. My father, my mother are very God-fearing, very selfless people. And they raised me and my siblings quite well. So the day after the typhoon, when we received reports of, you know, of our residents losing some roofs or getting damaged roofs. So it was very, almost like an instant idea, na? Let's repair it for free. Now, it might take time for them to claim their insurance or get their, I think, an insurance support from Pag-ibig, which in fact is true. No? Most of them got it 6 months mm-hmm. after. Well, so yeah, it's values and generosity. And for CLI, it's very automatic in a way. No? The Athenian part of it was RJ.
Fantastic. Truly a man for others is coming to play over here. And what I like over here is it says, I want to just say again about Boston, Anthony Orais Luterio saying over here in the comment box, Mike, you know, we are here to support always Cebu Landmasters. Thanks so much, Boston. No? The comment, there you go. But I want just the interesting thing for those listening here right now, you might be curious, but people are telling me where they're watching us from. And they're literally watching us from all over the country where the different projects of CLI are. We've got people from Anaga City in Kamsur who are watching. I have people listening also all the way from, we've got from Gensan. We've got from Palawan, we've got from Lapu-Lapu City, we have from Bohol, we have from Cagayan de Oro. So literally people, we've got from Davao here as well. And these are people selling the projects of CLI all over the country. So guys, thanks so much for your show of support. Having said this one, I want to move on to another interesting thing that's just happened for Cebu Landmasters is that you guys were just approved for your bond offering. I think that's to the tune of, is it 5 billion pesos? Is that right?
Yes. We had our maiden retail bond and we were able to raise 5 billion. So I'm actually going to go to Manila also for a bond listing ceremony at EDEC. So I'll be there to, it's not like an IPO, but it's still very significant for us because it's our maiden. So we'll be ringing a bell to list our bonds on the EDEC. And then, you know, that 5 billion, that 5 billion will go into project development to accelerate our projects. And of course, to position ourselves in new markets.
Yeah. And having said this one, I just want to emphasize to other people, no, especially for the first timers listening to business and trying to pick it up, what is the importance that you were able to secure approval for the bond offering? What does that say about a company when it's able to do something like that?
It says that we're very credible, of course. We had to go through a lot of screening by our regulators, especially SEC. So it's part of being a publicly listed company. We are able to issue bonds. But before we issue bonds, we have to have a good credit rating, of course. We have to have good financial performance. And in the use of these bonds, we have to be very clear about what these are for. And it's very clear. It's really to develop our projects well, to develop our projects better, to give more inventory to my friends like Boston.
Exactly. And we're having people also watching all the way from Bacolod, of course, from Misamis Oriental CDO, and also from Bacoor City in Cavite. And not only that one, I don't know if this is a revelation, but Boss Anthony Orais Luterio at 617 said, CLI is also now expanding to Butuan very soon. Is that correct?
Yes, we acquired a property there a few months ago. So expect that to be launched, our Casamira in Butuan, by early next year.
Fantastic.
So there's some new markets we're really looking at, RJ. As I said, we never stopped development during the pandemic. We kept pushing. So we're able to bring new projects. I think that's what happened to us since we kept on persevering during the pandemic, meaning we didn't slow down. We actually sped up during the pandemic. That's why we are one of the developers that have a lot of launches now in 22.
Having said that, this is very interesting here. It was a bit counterintuitive. I mean, for other people, they would stop. But on your part, CLI decided to say, let's speed up the projects. I mean, the other people who did the same thing were people like Budge Wenceslao of Asiana, who was also here on the show. Same strategy for them to pursue. Why did you? What was the sort of like the decision point to speed up? And also, what was the pandemic pivot that you guys had to do? I know that there was a project that almost sold 1 billion pesos in less than a week as well during the pandemic for CLI. What did you have to do differently? Or what did you do more of to get it going? So let's start off with, why continue development during the time? What did you guys see that maybe others weren't seeing at the time?
Yeah, I remember very well. Wow, it's like ages ago, no? But that was just 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
But I think I remember very well that we needed to support the industry. So, you know, we needed to first support clients. You know, clients still needed their homes to be delivered. Two brokers needed, you know, their livelihoods to be secured. Suppliers needed to be paid. Construction workers needed jobs. So there was that realization where if we stop, so many will suffer, right? So, you know, I remember, and I think I told you the story that during the height of pandemic in April, we asked some of 10 of our accounting staff to live in the office so that we could still release commissions to brokers. And then, you know, we were probably the ones calling brokers or, no, hey, your checks are ready. Or we can deposit this for you because nobody could go out. And then that's when we realized that there were still so many buyers looking for homes, especially that the pandemic opened the eyes to people about the really need for a home investment. So that really propelled us. We sold more homes in 2020 and 2021 than in pre-pandemic years. And actually this year we're on track to have our best year in our history. We're on track to hit 20 billion of sales this year.
Wow.
Of new reservations. Yes.
Fantastic. Bravo. Yeah. On a great job over there. And just wanted to ask, did you have any sort of pandemic pivot that you guys did in terms of,
yes.
Did you adjust pricing? Yeah. What did you do? What did you guys do?
Of course, a lot of virtual, a lot of, you know, reservation processes that were online, a lot of trainings online, making payment terms more flexible, going from, you know, from the usual 7,000 to 8,000 per month to as low as 4,000 to 5,000 per month. So many pivots, but the main strategy was really how to be more flexible is what we did. And of course, more flexible, but same time accessible. So we were really accessible online. And the good thing with CLI is we really set up regional offices. We're also physically present as well in all our locations. Like I you have some viewers from Cagayan, Bacolod. We were present all over.
What is the biggest insight? I'm just curious. What is the biggest insight that you gained and the company gained as a result of the pandemic that will continue to stay with the company?
You know, I think because you know, who knows? Not there might be more challenges in the future. I mean, whether we're a small developer or a big developer, there will always be challenges. We went through a health crisis, and now we're going through an inflation crisis. Mm-hmm. There will always be challenges, but I think the insight is we have to pivot fast, meaning we have to come together as a leadership team to not sit back and relax. No, we have to sit down and get to work. So I think what we did very quickly there was just 1 week of hard lockdown. We had to re-strategize. No, what can we do? I think we have to respond very fast or come up with new strategies to address these new challenges. I think that's the most general but most effective type of answer I have for our viewers.
And Boss Franco, since you're talking about finding other new areas where you can replicate the Casamiro model, at least the model for development that you've been doing, where the geography and the socioeconomic conditions are almost similar to Cebu. Our big boss from Kamsur, Lilibet Kata Altur. Kamsur is waiting also for projects of CLI. Can they also look forward to something over there? And you got people watching from Legazpi City. Albay, what can you say about those areas?
You know, what's interesting is I think by next year we'll be 20 years in the industry. So we've always said that we're still investment, but my father, our founder, Mr. Joe, told me to decide when we would be really in Luzon. Now, because Palawan, I would say it's still not the heart of Luzon, but I would see ourselves in 3 to 5 years or sooner in Luzon. No? And it will start with, of course, outside Metro Manila, where we can bring our value for money type of developments. I think Kamsur is a great market. Bicol is a great market. Batangas is a great market.
We also
so who knows, I will be
asking
you sooner.
Yeah. In, Jen San also, sabi ni Boston or Anthony Orizo there, Jen San also, boss.
Actually, I have a My team is going there sometime this week to check out a few sites. So we were supposed to be there 3 years ago. So we're actually 3 years late. So it's going to happen soon. In real estate, it requires a good discipline. No? We need to get the best location. And we almost had one, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. So who knows? This is going to happen very soon in Gensan. Because we love Gensan. We know we can do very well there. Well, not just with one project, but multiple projects.
I love it. I just love how eager people are listening to here right now here on our chat box. Thanks so much for everybody participating. If you got questions you want to ask Boss Franco, please let me know. This time around, I want to take a little bit of a time travel. Let's go back a bit more. You talk about the 20 years that you're celebrating, Franco. But I want to go back a bit more. You know, real estate development can be commoditized. There's a lot of developers. And they don't emerge to scale like you. There are many that have closed down, or there are many that haven't been able to grow as fast as you. So can you just let's walk backward now? Let's take ourselves back. Just what's the secret origin of how you guys started off here with Cebulan Masters? How did it eventually become different from other developers? What was what's the pain point that you first addressed to become this big? Let's start off. How did that begin this company?
Wow, parang that's I don't know. What's nice with this podcast, you know, these are good questions that not normally asked in typical interviews. So I'll be happy to answer it, RJ. I think it really started with my father and mother, who are really who really love real estate. Real estate, kasi, is the most real type of business where you really can make a difference in lives, no? Because you're building homes or creating livelihoods. I think it's one of those businesses where the founders or the leaders have to be very good with people, mm-hmm. no? You have to be very good with people, very sincere with them, who are able to really deliver on promises. So the good thing is my dad, as you know, came from Ayala Land. So he's helped set up the subsidiary of Ayala here in Cebu called Cebu Holding. So did townships, did some residential projects. And my mom was actually with BPI early in the days.
Wow, what a great combination. Sorry to interrupt you, but the idea is that you had people who were both career people. I mean, that's how I look at it. They're both career people. And one had a technical background for real estate development, one had a financial background to start off.
Yes, yes.
Get the mix, huh? Get the mix.
You know, we just feel blessed. So my father can be aggressive, no? He's a dreamer. My mother is very good with her calculator and yellow pad. So yun. And I'm the result. I'm in the middle. So you have an aggressive person, you have a good fiscal and I can be aggressive, but I can also take a step back. So, and of course, my mom also entered into business. So, at one point, she was running one of the largest exporters of fashion accessories, and we were at one point the third largest here in Cebu. So, we were actually exporting fashion accessories, and we had up to 400 or 500 employees at one point. Now, so. You have very good business people who are career professionals and they.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I really love the people business of real estate. No, I think that's really the start. So you can imagine, as you said, the technical know-how of real estate, you know, the most difficult part is finding the good land, getting the right permits. Of course, real estate is one of the most capital intensive businesses. So you really need to have discipline, good accounting, good transparency. So yeah, that's the combination at the start.
I'm quite curious because, you know, many people who actually watch this one, they ask, sir, when is it a good time to jump from my career moving into the entrepreneurial world? I mean, I'm presuming you knew what happened to your folks, but even for yourself, you did move from a corporate career back to the family business. And that's, for some people, that's not, they don't want to enter their family business, right? But then, for you, what do you think, what made them, I guess, decide that, you know, because you're not going to say Ayala Land, that could, there are people who are Ayala lifers, right? They, you know, like they can stay there then do their whole lives over there. But what egged them on, I guess, to start doing their own real estate development business?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I don't think, you know, my parents are so humble. I don't think they planned it, no? It's more of a work in progress because I don't think my parents are so humble. No? I don't think they dreamt of being where they are right now. So they're probably living a dream, no? It's what's happening. And of course, they're sharing this dream with all our CLI employees, shareholders. But I think it starts with, you know, getting good training and then having the right mentors. And then and that paves the way for you to become a successful businessman. No? I believe in that. It's training, good education. And then one of the big ways of growing also in real estate is partnerships also. So we were very lucky to have good joint venture partners at the start, where we didn't have capital, so we partnered with landowners at the early part of CLI.
Great. And at least with your dad's technical know-how and your mom's financial savvy, that was a great way to start off the business.
Yes. They talk real estate in our dinner table, but we didn't mind. So we enjoyed listening to them talking about sa Bisaya is a yuta, no? Looking for mga lote.
But I guess that's where it starts because, like, for me, I mean, I come from an entrepreneurial family also. It's the idea that, you know, when you bring the kids wherever you go, I mean, you don't have to teach them. You can teach them directly or you can teach them through osmosis, that they're just exposed to the environment. Like, my wife and I, we both grew up in entrepreneurial families. So, you know, the hustle is there, whether it's a weekend or a weekday, the same thing for you, right? You're working because that's just how you were brought up. But is that the same with you, Taco?
Yeah. When I was a kid, even when my dad was still with Ayala, he would bring me with him in his developments. Even when we were already at the earliest days of CLI, because, you know, when you go through subdivision properties, we look for gems, right? So this might be a bit hidden, 1 kilometer from the highway. So we have to look for good drainage connections. So we really, you know, go through challenging properties and they actually are gem of properties. So yeah, even when I was grade school or high school, I would join, go with them.
Fantastic. So
actually my son now, I have 4 kids now, pala RJ. So I think my eldest, I bring him with me.
Perfect.
Look for properties, yeah.
Start them young. Over here, I have a comment from Christopher Chua. He says over here, CLI is a stock you can keep for a lifetime. And it will continue to create value. Owners are serious with their goal of providing quality homes for the Filipino people. And you can hear that straight mismo coming from Franco over here. Now, Franco, I want to go again. Let's go back into the journey. How did they start off the projects? You know, how did your dad start getting the momentum to start developing the projects? And, you know, because like I said, no, you could have just been any other developer. And there are people who are okay with development, but there's been sort of like a scaling of you guys. What was that point that you were going this way, but all of a sudden the developments scaled? So, I mean, the number of projects that you were doing and the capital going became much larger than you just becoming a regular medium scale developer.
Yeah. So I would say in 2009, we realized that cities like Cebu were rapidly urbanizing. You know, in 2009, pre-2009, there were just a few vertical projects here in Cebu. So I guess in 2009, that's where we enter the condo development market. And at the time, we launched our very first condo in IT Park. It was just 88 units. But for us, that was at that point a 500 million peso project. So that was so much. And we were, you know, worried. I was saying, if this doesn't work out, I will have to go back to work in Manila to go back to my old job. But you know, it started with good gut feel. No? It was a very good location, Cebu IT Park, very prime. And then we priced it very well. At that time, only 15 people in our whole company. And yeah, it sold out practically in a few months. So after that, it was then another condo with another housing project. And we just keep replicating it, RJ.
Wow. You talked about, you know, going back to your job in Manila. I want to just touch on that briefly. There are, you know, like for yourself, diba, there are many ways that I guess people with family businesses, how they ask their kids to, I guess, enter the business. How is it like for you? Was it something that you wanted to enter also? Like you worked outside with the purpose of eventually joining the family business, or were you contemplating on just pursuing a career path outside of the family and your dad just kind of, you know, dragged you in? What was your story to come into CLI?
Yeah, you know, my original goal was to work abroad, become an investment banker abroad. So that was the original goal. But interestingly, I worked 4 years for a multinational that did a global SAP solution. So I was actually a project manager there. And then I was going to take my MBA and then work abroad, not to have a good career. But it's one of those, you know, I would say serendipitous, and our business then started doing these condos, no? And I felt, wow, what a big impact we can make there. A condo can easily hire 1,000 construction workers. It's very exciting. It's so difficult, and it needs a lot of a good finance mind also to assemble the funds, to manage the funds. So that attracted me to it. Then I said, "Sige, let me give it a try to join the business." Because we are a very young family business, RJ. You know, we are not a fifth generation, sixth generation conglomerate. So it was basically my dad, mom, and we are all, you know, entering uncharted territories together. But right now, since that was 12 years ago, we do have a family constitution. So we really require those family members of ours want to join business to work outside first so that they can get a good discipline of being an employee to understand good structured systems of working. So we become a very professional company.
Very interesting story. And I want to delve into this a bit more because I don't have this a chance to talk about people from family businesses that for the business to run. Right? I mean, one of the advantages and disadvantages working for a family business is that, you know, there's a, like you said, no, there was some more, must be puso, but there's more compassion, especially like you said, during the typhoons where you actually did more than you were supposed to. What do you think was your advantage of being a young, I mean, you said you were a young company. It wasn't necessarily bad because sometimes if you go to companies with a second gen or third gen, that's when things get complicated, right? But what is the advantage of being a close-knit family business for you?
Yeah, the advantage, very quick decision-making, meaning to buy a property. Do you like it, Dad? Do you like it, Mom? I like it. Let's go. Let's go for it. Do you like the design? Yes, I like it. Okay, let's go. Actually, we're one of the first also to share, you know, more incentives also to the brokerage community. Because he said, you know, let's empower the brokerage community. Let's take better care of them. So we were one of the early ones to, you know, release commission sooner or give share more of that to the brokerage community. So we're very agile, I guess you would say. But in real estate, you really have to be fast. No, I think in real estate, you cannot... One minute wasted is really... thousands of money or opportunity losses. That's the advantage. No? A family who's technically good, who's financially sound, and who has good values can really be a good real estate combination, I would say.
grab that. And earlier on, you mentioned a very interesting concept, and I'm familiar with it, but maybe not so many people are, no? Is the idea of a family constitution. What exactly is a family constitution, and why is it important, especially for companies like yours that are growing quickly?
Yeah, family constitution is really like a moral obligation among family members who want to be part of the family business. Because when you're in a family business, there are rules that there might be some unwritten rules, no? Yeah, if you're in a family business, for example, if you're in family business of RJ, can RJ do other businesses as well? So for example, baka for some family members, okay lang yan, but meron palang ibang family members, hindi pala pwede yan. So with the family constitution, you're putting everything in writing so that there is no gray area. And with less gray area, you remove any conflicts, no? And the family constitution also is when there are conflicts, there are ways to resolve conflict. There are systems in place.
There's a mechanism in place for to solve conflict.
Yes. Correct. So there's also rules like can in-laws work in the business? So for our constitution, we allow as long as they're qualified. So yeah, but there are also some constitutions who don't allow in-laws to work in a business. So there are these things that are better written than unwritten.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. For others, yeah. It's something that's very important as a foundational principle to grow companies, because that can be points of irritation or contention as a business grows. Now, with the scale right now of Cebu Landmass,
yeah.
And to your own insights and experience, where was that point for you where you said, "Wow, this is a talagang malaki na to," or Cebu Landmass is something that's going to get very big. When did that point come to you when you were working for the family?
Yeah, I think when we were preparing for our IPO, RJ, which you hosted in 2017.
That one.
Yeah, because when we are publicly, we had to really decide, no, are we willing to become a publicly listed company? Because, of course, there are many opportunities, like we can access capital or debt markets easier because all our records are transparent. But same time, are we really ready to have 10 to 20 projects a year? Are we ready to dedicate the time and the emotion to that? So we had to really go through that because we saw our projects were selling well. We were able to deliver actually our projects faster than our peers. So the IPO really catapulted us to a higher level of productivity. But it means also that we've been very busy. It means we've been very busy.
Great. Now, let's take a look now at the lay of the land. I want to get a better picture of you guys right now, because many of the projects that people might be listening to the show are familiar with are Luzon-centric, right? So they understand here. But then many of them are not seeing, help us better appreciate what is just the real estate opportunities in Visayas and Mindanao where you guys have been working on, and how did you see, how did you choose which projects would be ideal for these specific areas? We want to go to the mind of a real estate developer.
Yeah, I think just like any business, no, parang it starts with supply and demand. Parang in the business that you're in, how is the demand and how is the supply? So Visayas and Mindanao is emerging, no? It's developing. So it's really a lot of demand, but supply is lacking. So that's really the basic situation. So when that happens and the players here are, there are not a lot of players who said, Vismin will be my priority, no? So we are, in a way, at a natural advantage because Vismin is my priority. There's not enough supply in Vismin. I have 800 people to deploy and make sure my projects are built well and right. So yun, RJ, I was interviewed recently on ANC, no? I explained to them, why are you still able to sell, no, when, prices are going up? People are still worried about uncertainty. So yeah, I explained to them, in the first half of 2022, do you know how many condo projects lang in units, RJ, were launched in the whole island of Cebu? I want you to guess, like how many units in the whole island of Cebu, how many units lang in the first half?
First half of 20...
Oh, this year.
5,000 units?
ano lang, less than 2,000. Less than 2,000. And we're a city of 2 million here, an island of 5 million. How that's small, right? And in Jeddah, we're going to talk about 1 million homes, right, per year. I think we were just able to do 200,000 as a whole industry. So yun, in Cebu, 2,000. In Bacolod, less than 1,000 new units. Ang liit talaga, no? And we this is really an eye-opener for the up-and-coming, you know, young developers there, because there is really opportunity. I think we need you. We need more players, good players who really care about the homeowners to be part of the industry. Yeah.
And I'm guessing the one thing right now is, how about the absorption rate? I mean, you're developing that in the provinces, but the capacity to pay ba is present there, or do these mostly come from the OFWs? Like, for many of us, it's pretty obvious you get a lot of OFWs sending their remittances back home, and that's what the bulk of the payments are for many of these homes. So, yeah, that's a bit more. I mean, what's the absorption rate, right, for properties?
So I would say in economic to middle market, you can easily say 90 to 100% absorption in a year, meaning your projects will be sold 90 to 100% sold out within a year if it's in the middle and economic market.
What are these price points of these middle?
Yeah. So I would say economic market from as low as 1 million to 2.5 million, and middle market would be 2.5 million to 6 million pesos. So when you look at this market, kasi 1 to 6 million pesos, why buy a car when you can buy a home? No? Parang you know, that's the mentality. No? And you need to pay as low as 5,000 a month to 15,000 a month in that market. What's that? Diba? Parang, you know, a household, two minimum wage earners, let's say, would earn a combined 25,000 per month. If they would allocate 30% of their income for housing, so they would have 5,000 to 7,000 to buy the most affordable home. So I think that's really the dream. No? Parang my job is to find the best possible location for the most affordable type of project. No? Parang, you know, to make sure home ownership reaches more Filipinos. So yun, RJ, that's the basic approach that we have. No? So I say high absorption sa economic to middle market. Although the higher end market also making a comeback now. You know, we're doing some beach condos, or but the very prime locations are still very attractive to that higher end market as well.
But many of the markets here right now are really subsidized by our OFW markets. I'm guessing maybe the condo product.
Oh yeah, no. Interestingly, maybe in our case, if it's a condo, I would say 60% local, 40% OFW.
Ah, really?
No?
Huh?
So more local market. And then when it's housing naman, it's balikad. So it would be 40% local market, 60% OFW. But I would say maganda kasi where we position for the reviewers from Manila. When you say key city, Cebu, Davao, Cagayan, Bacolod, Iloilo, these are cities that are like regional hubs, no? So they also sell to neighboring cities. So if I'm in Davao, I would also send to neighboring towns and cities, actually.
I see. A very interesting the dynamic going on over there. What areas are you most excited about right now in terms of development that you're seeing where there is that big discrepancy and that there is the ability to absorb property?
Actually, all those I mentioned. So, like, example, Cagayan de Oro. So, if you're a developer in Cagayan, you're actually selling also to Bukidnon, Iligan, as far as Valencia. Because these buyers would send their, you know, would probably send their kids to universities in Cagayan de Oro. Or they would have their businesses also using distribution channels through Cagayan de Oro. So, for example, we have our township in Cagayan de Oro, in Manresa Town. So it's located in, it will be adjacent to the new University of Xavier Ateneo de Cagayan. And we're very excited. That's 15 hectares of future development that we have. And we were going to do it very green, very generously done, very responsibly planned. No, to be very frank with you, and some of our viewers in Cagayan know this, we're out of inventory, meaning of the 5 projects I have there, I'm fully sold out. So meaning I need to launch a new project in Cagayan de Oro, for example. So I really have zero available units in Cagayan de Oro.
Wow. And when you talk about development, because you know the way that it's perceived also as well as real estate developers, that you have to be as large as a CLI to develop real estate projects. But from what I hear you say is that there's still opportunity even for smaller developers to develop. Knowing that you guys are, my presumption is that you guys are generous, you know, saying, we're going to take all the opportunities. What do you see are the opportunities open for smaller or pocket developers? Or what are the opportunities you see in general for in the real estate ecosystem to develop, especially in the provincial areas?
This is where you were asking, you know, what about this mean? You know, land cost is rising, but I would say this is my good insight now for viewers. So if Manila's most expensive land is, let's say, 1 million per square meter, Cebu's will be 70% less.
Wow.
No, than the highest. So, and when you go to Cebu and Davao, so I would say the most expensive Cebu would be 50% less in Davao. And then, so, I mean, there is a lot of, that's why it's nice to develop here because the costs are still, I would say, reasonable. So that meaning the cost to acquire land, the cost to build would be less, the labor cost a bit less. And then we have, you know, we have all these conveniences, the Mactan I can still see from my office, it's 45 minutes away or 1 hour during traffic hours. So we have a very good balance of a lower cost of living but high quality of comfort, as I would say, you know, in the Bismin region, because that's what we have. So I would say we can still acquire good housing land for 1,000 to 2,000 pesos per square meter. We just have to know where to find these in the Bismin region. My story is when my father did our first subdivision in 2004, I think he acquired land at 100 pesos per square meter.
Wow.
Of course, you know, it's hard to find that nowadays, but, you know, the equivalent of 100 pesos today would probably, you can still find good land for 800 pesos or 1,500 to 2,000 pesos per square. You need to find that relative of yours who's willing to part with his land, give you a good deal, no, and start there.
So what's next now for you guys? I mean, like I mentioned earlier on, in the projects, what you've had is, right now you've had, let me go through it again, 67 residential, 6 offices, 10 hotels, 8 mixed use, 3 townships. I mean, that's already a lot to fathom. What's next for CLI in the next 5 years?
Wow, good question. Actually, we're having our strategic planning session next week. So I'm glad I will try to answer this unscripted. No, but basically, we really have to execute well. No? Meaning, of course, I would say during the pandemic, there are obviously some delays, no? But we take pride now. We're among the least delayed because we want to really bring the investment of people to them. Meaning condos, we have to finish in less than 4 years. Housing, we have to finish in 3 years. That is CLI. So meaning our goal now is really to deliver projects. So we actually have 11 projects now that we're turning over to buyer. 11. So I have to make sure that these are delivered very well. If they're punch lists when buyers inspect, our policy is we will continue to repair the unit until the buyer is fully satisfied. Now, that's a CLI signature policy. Now we will really complete the unit as best as we can until the buyer accepts. No? So that's one. So our next few years, really good execution, good delivery, high customer satisfaction. But of course, we're also moving into higher value developments. Like I said, township. We have Davao Global Township. We have our Manresa Town. We're having our big township here in Mandaue, Cebu. And then we're delivering now our new product lines, like our hospitality hotels. We're going to open our new malls in the next year or two. So we're going to have, from a housing developer, we're going to be a more diversified developer, no, in terms of operation. So I'll have a mall team. I'll have a bigger hotel team. I'll have a resort team on top of our, you know, our big residential team. Yeah, that's the next 3 to 5 years.
Very exciting things to look forward to. And I'm sure the Filipino homes team here listening here right now are excited for all the new projects which are coming. And more importantly, they're looking forward to selling them as well and to marketing these projects. Now, yeah. Frank, it's been a really interesting discussion. I wish we could talk much, much longer than that one.
But you have a dinner to go to.
But aside from the dinner,
as we said to wrap up, what I want to find out, well, and again, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at our National Convention of the Subdivision and Housing Developers Association. Franco, if you were here to talk right now and, you know, share advice with the younger Franco Soberano, or at least, you know, share advice with what you've gained over the couple of years working corporate, coming to the family business, growing it from one condo unit to several projects, what insight would you like to share with the up-and-coming business people that can help them also grow in their own businesses?
Yeah, I think, first of all, make sure you develop those technical skills. No? Parang, because it's not enough to have the passion. You really need to develop good technical skills, you know, finance, marketing, sales, I would say law. So you have to start by having very good technical skills in the business. And then I would say you go now to your heart. Parang what will wake you up in the morning? Well, what do you think will, do you really want to make a difference in people's lives and find that business that will allow you to do that? So I found mine in real estate. It's a business where you can really generate a lot of jobs. You can make families' lives better. And of course, you can also enrich lives, meaning I have now a big family in Cibulan Masters. We are 800 people, and our goal is to make sure their lives are better with the work they're doing. Now, wow. Yun, especially when the younger ones, you know, study, man, study, work hard, and then it will keep opening doors. No? It's a step-by-step process. It will not happen overnight for sure. Just like RJ and I, we're hardworking people. But of course, staying grounded. Because you might think that you already made it, but wow, we're still so far from where we need to be. Just keep being grounded as well. Keep being humble.
Keep being grounded, keep being humble. And again, I have to say this over here. I think that the growth of CLI is really based on the strong values of faith and humility and family. The sort of centeredness that you had was really what led to the growth of this one, aside from, of course, the technical skills which your parents had. I mean, this is a lot of hard work. And what often tells people is that, you know, what I like the most when I do this podcast is people who not come from nothing, but, you know, it's from their own hard work, you know, and they were able to just, you know, they've got a strong technical skill somewhere. And then an opportunity came that way and they were able to make it something great. And that's really what happened over here at Cebulang Master. So again, thank you so much, Franco, for the opportunity. Again, we look forward to this. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the National Convention of the Subdivision and Housing Developers Association. For all those watching us live from all over the country, Philippine homes, let's just give him a virtual round of applause. Again, Franco, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to everybody for joining us for the RJ Ledesma podcast. We will see you in the next podcast, guys. Thank you so much. See you around.
Hey, everyone. Thanks, RJ. Yeah.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.